Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 15, Text 25. Yach cha
rajanti
animisham rishabha anuvritya dure yama hi upari na sprihaniya shila partur mita suyashasa Katana, Anuraga, Vaiklavya, Bashka, Kalaya, Pulaki, Katanga, Yachcha Vajantya Ninimisham Rishapan Vritya, Udeya mahi parina sprihani ashila.
Udeya mahi parina sprihani
ashila. Bhartur mita suyashasa katana nuraga.
Bhartur mita suyashasa katana
nuraga. Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga.
Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga.
Yachcha vrajantya nimisham rishapanu vritya Dureya mahyu parina sprihani yashila
Dureya mahyu parina
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananu raga
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananu
Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga.
Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga.
Yasya vajam dinisham shibhanu vidya.
Yasya vajam dinisham shibhanu vidya. Dureya mahi parina sprihani yashila. Bhartur mita suyashasa katananu raga Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga
Yachcha
vrajantya nimisham rishabhanu vritya Dureya mahyu parina sprihani ashila
Bhartur
mita suyashasa katananu raga
Vaiklavya
bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga Yachcha vrajantya nimisham rishabhanu vritya Dureya mahyu parina sprihani ashila Bhartur mita suyashasa katananu raga Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga Yachcha vrajantya nimisham rishabhanu vritya Dureya mahyu parina sprihani ashila Katananu raga Vaiklavya bhashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga Yachcha vrajantya nimisham rishabhanu vritya Dureya mahi parina sprinaniya shila. Partur mita su yashasa katanhanu raga. Vaiklavya bhashva kalaya pulaki pratanga. Yascha vrajantya nimisham rishapana vritya. Dureya mahi uparinas prihani ashila. Partur mita su yashasa katananu gada. Vaiklavya bhashva kalaya pulaki kritanga. Maji. Yat. Vaikuntha. Cha. And. Vajanti. Go. Animisham. Of the demigods. Rishapa. Chief. Anuvritya. Following in the footsteps. Durei, keeping at a distance. Yamaha, regulative principles. He, certainly. Upari, above. Naha, us. Sprihaniya, to be desired. Shilaha, good qualities. Partuhu, of the Supreme Lord. Mitaha, for one another. Suyashasaha, glories. Katana, by discussions. Discourses. Anuraga, attraction. Vaiklavya, ecstasy. Bhashpakalaya, tears in the eyes. Krita, shivering. Anga, bodies. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Purport. It is clearly stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. Just as there are many hundreds of thousands of higher planets above this earth, so there are many millions and billions of spiritual planets belonging to the spiritual sky. Brahmaji states herein that the spiritual kingdom is above the kingdom of the demigods. One can enter the kingdom of the Supreme Lord only when one is highly developed in desirable qualities. All good qualities develop in the person of a devotee. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse 12, that anyone who is in Krishna consciousness is endowed with all the good qualities of the demigods. In the material world, the qualities of the demigods are highly appreciated, just as, even in our experience, the qualities of a gentleman are more highly appreciated than the qualities of a man in ignorance or in a lower condition of life. The qualities of the demigods in the higher planets are far superior to the qualities of the inhabitants of this earth. Om Gyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Madhopistam Stapitam Jena Putale Shayam Rupa Kadal Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Gitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhandatamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yachcha Vajanchi Nimisham Shapana Vritya Dure Yama Huparina Sprihaniya Shila Partur Mita Suyashasa Katanam Raga Vaiklavya Bashpa Kalaya Pulaki Pratanga. Well, one has to go back to Godhead, one has to develop the good qualities. The devotee automatically develops the good qualities. Yes, yes, dear Bhaktir, Bhagavat Yakinchana. Surayar, what is that? Where's that first cut? Jasti Bhakti Bhagavad Chikinshana. Jasti Bhakti Bhagavad Chikinshana. It's amazing. And all the day in Asati Bhagavatam. Jasti Bhakti Bhagavad Chikinshana. Isn't that amazing? We all know the verse, right?
Yeah, I know the last
one. It's
Yastibha. On the middle line.
Yeah, the middle line.
Yeah,
the other one. And then Kutoma Mahaprabhu. Yes, Yastibha to your Bhagavad Gita. You're missing a word. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavat chikinshana.
Sarvai
gunai
samasita.
Sarvai gunai
samasita sura. Sura means
there's a word missing. Sarvai gunai tatra samasita.
Sarvai gunai tatra samasita.
Okay, yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavat chikinshana. Sarvai gunai tatra samasita sura. Harav bhakta sikrito mahadguna. Manovrite nasati davatobi. This is the Monday morning. Haziness. Okay. All the good qualities are expected to develop automatically within the person of the devotee. Brahmaji confirms herein that only persons who have developed the desirable qualities can enter into the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees' desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They're stated as follows. He's very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in the material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. He is poetic, he is expert in all activities, and he is silent in nonsense. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25th chapter, verse 21, the qualifications of a saintly person are mentioned. It is said there that a saintly person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God is very tolerant and very kind to all living entities. He is not partial. He is kind both to human beings and to animals. He is not such a fool that he will kill a goat Narayan to feed a human Narayan or Daridra Narayan. He is very kind to all living entities. Therefore, he has no enemy. He is very peaceful. These are the qualities of a person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Titikshava karmika surida sadadehina ajata shatravat shanta sadhava sadhavushan. These are the good qualities of a devotee of the Lord. That such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd chapter, verse 24, also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted and that therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God, Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we offenselessly chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting purifies the heart. That means there should be a change in heart. If that change doesn't take place, it means we must be committing 10 kinds of offenses while chanting the holy name of the Lord. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. The first offense is to decry persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. People must be educated in understanding the glories of the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees who engage in preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense, Vaishnava Parad, Sadhu Ninda. To criticize the devotees of the Lord is very offensive and can ruin one's spiritual life. What to speak of not getting the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, not getting the full effect, one can ruin one's spiritual life by decrying, bad-mouthing the devotees of the Lord. One should be very careful about that. Some people are so reckless that they publish the defamation of devotees. So they're ruining their spiritual progress. One should be very, very careful about that. Furthermore, the holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name, and his pastimes are also non-different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all the same. If one thinks that the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the names and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts the holy name of Vishnu to be a material sound vibration, that is also an offense. The demigods are in charge of material nature. To think that the names of the demigods and the names of the transcendental personality of Godhead are on the same level is a great offense. Or to think that it's some sort of mundane sound. The third offense is to think of the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being, Purushu Naravati, to therefore minimize the instructions of the spiritual master, ignore the spiritual master's instructions. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literature, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. The fifth offense is to think that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of the Lord. The actual fact is that the Lord is non-different from his name. The highest realization of spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for the age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act sinfully on the strength of chanting the holy name of God. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reaction simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful acts, that is a symptom of offense. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities, such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. It's not that chanting Hare Krishna is one of the spiritual activities recommended in the Vedic literature, like austerity, sacrifice, pious activities. That's a great mistake. Chanting of Hare Krishna is vibration of, or invoking the vibrational presence of the Supreme Lord. It's not on the same level as other activities. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before persons who have no interest. The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconceptions of possessing something or to accept the body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual cultivation. When one is free from all 10 of these offenses in chanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called pulakashru. Pulaka means symptoms of happiness, and ashru means tears in the eyes. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here in this verse it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter, Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8, Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, he becomes freed from all offenses. So this chanting should be a defenseless chanting. We have work to do to avoid these 10 offenses while chanting Hare Krishna, so that we can benefit from the actual effect. And the advice given is that if one takes shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chants the holy name of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, then he can be purified and chant offenselessly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any questions?
Maybe
you can shed more light on offense number five.
Five.
Yes. To think that the glories of the Lord are sort of, what's the word? Pumped up by the devotees, that they've taken this chanting and they've given it undue importance. They've elevated it to some sort of high station and ascribed to it all sorts of benefits just to get you to chant. That's an offense. To think that really this is just an ordinary sound, but any sound that you kind of get into and you repeat it long enough, you'll think that it's something. Or if you believe in it, then it will have an effect. These are all offenses. To think that the glories of the holy name are an exaggeration. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Vinnatan Aminam, one has to understand that spiritually there's no difference between the Lord in His name, the Lord in His form, the Lord in His qualities, the Lord in His pastimes. So when we speak of the holy name of Krishna, that's Krishna Himself. So if we minimize the holy name, we're minimizing Krishna. You're minimizing Krishna. You're minimizing Krishna. Krishna and His holy name are not different. That realization has to be appreciated, that actually Krishna is there as the transcendental liberation. And how much potency does Krishna have? That same potency the holy name of Krishna has. People say, can you show me God? I want to see God. But then if they could see God, they'd just, oh, that's not God, or you're just calling Him God, or He's an ordinary man that people are calling, you know, they minimize like that, the demons, just like the Kamsa. Oh, Krishna killed some ordinary water snake, He defeated some ordinary water snake, and they say He lifted the hill, but He couldn't have lifted a hill, and in that way, they minimize. So one shouldn't minimize Krishna. And the holy name is as good as Krishna Himself.
Okay. Your pen offense with material attachment.
Mm.
So everybody in this material world, everybody they have material attachment.
Yeah. Therefore, everyone is an offender.
It is difficult to avoid.
Yeah.
It is difficult to avoid this offense.
Yeah, but one has to do that.
How?
By chanting Hare Krishna. And by taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya. It's difficult to avoid, therefore it's difficult to go back to Godhead. Because as long as we have material attachment, we can't go. But this is the method, that if we chant Hare Krishna sincerely, then we can give up our material attachment. One shouldn't hold on. If we're chanting Hare Krishna and think, well, I'll chant Hare Krishna, and at the same time, that'll sort of kind of keep me afloat, so that I can have my cake and eat it too. I can have spiritual advancement by chanting Hare Krishna, and I can have all the material things I want also. And in that way, I'll make spiritual progress and I'll have material enjoyment. Then he's working against himself. because the point of chanting Hare Krishna is to get free from material so-called enjoyment. Material enjoyment is the enemy of the conditioned soul. We want to have spiritual enjoyment or spiritual service. So to hold on to material enjoyment while chanting Hare Krishna is like pouring water on fire while you're trying to build it up. So it may be a long-standing habit. We're materially attached, maybe deeply ingrained. But while chanting Hare Krishna, we should seriously aspire to get free from these things. Yes?
Is it also offensive if, for example, you form a cheering square?
Excuse me? You're?
Cheering square using the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. For example, the two teams are playing, and then this side you form the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and then you as these people are playing in the field, you are leading other people in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and chanting around the stadium, and people are playing, maybe while others are selling books. Will that also be offensive?
No, if you can get your all these soccer teams and so on to chant Hare Krishna, that's good.
Okay. Because some people come up with some songs which you don't actually get the meaning of that. But if you can train those people to just chant Hare Krishna while they are cheering their team.
Yeah, instead of chanting whatever slogans they have, if they chant Hare Krishna, they'll benefit.
So that one is not offensive?
No. They may have some offensive ideas while chanting, but still, that they're chanting is good. Yes?
I'd like a bit more explanation on how the human being, the human body is the boat.
How the human body is what?
It's the boat to cross the ocean of nations. In relationship to like demigods, how even demigods, they envy.
Trouble with the demigods is that they have too much material enjoyment.
Yeah. Now, especially Shiva, it seems to me like Shiva is under so much austerity. Does he also have to become a human being?
No, human. Shiva is in a special position. He's not one of the jivas. The other demigods, like Brahma and Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they're all living entities who, by virtue of pious activities, are promoted to that particular post. Lord Shiva's not like that. He's not one of the jivas. He's not one of the conditioned souls or one of the liberated souls. He's a particular special potency of the Supreme Lord. He's almost on the level of Lord Vishnu. Not quite, because he's in touch with material nature. Lord Shiva is special. Okay. Yes.
When you mentioned about blasphemy from devotees,
yeah.
When you mentioned about to publish something blaspheming devotees, so what if somebody publishes something based on a fact, truth, a devotee did something?
What if someone publishes something based on truth, fact? Truth and fact don't necessarily exempt one from Vaishnava Aparad. If one's purpose is to drag down a devotee, even by publishing something which is a fact, one may be offensive. You can find something faulty with everyone. Suppose, let's say there's some devotee who's preaching and his mother was a prostitute. Now that's a fact. But if you publish, well, you're attending classes by this devotee, but did you know that his mother is a prostitute? It's a fact, but it's an offense. It's not that factuality exempts one from Vaishnava aparads. If one's intention is to drag down the devotee, to minimize the devotee, to diminish people's faith in the devotee, to criticize the devotee. Mm-hmm. I may say, You know he's black. That's a fact. But if my purpose is, I mean, that may be good. If I say, well, we need some preachers in Africa and he's black, that's positive. But if the intention is to say, well, he's black, so you don't want to listen to him, or there must be something wrong with him, then it's an offense. It's true, but it's an offense. To think that the Vaishnava is an ordinary human being, to criticize him in terms of some... that's specifically mentioned by Rupa Goswami. He has some bodily defects. You know, maybe he's lame, or maybe he's got a bad complexion, or maybe even he's got an irritable personality. These things may all be factual, but if you point them out, you're committing an offense. So just that what you're saying is true doesn't mean it's not offensive.
Maharaj, what about some devotee? And maybe he had not proper character. And somebody told him he's giving class is not good.
You should be careful. Everyone has something. And if you're finding fault in the character of a devotee, then you should be careful. Don't listen to him. Now, sometimes we have to discriminate. This person's not following the four regulative principles, like that. And then we have to make some distinctions. We should be very careful, though. Even if he's not following the four regulative principles, we should be very careful that before we criticize and broadcast, you know, someone has a problem, he broke a regulative print, now we broadcast to the whole world.
No, not broadcasting, just like somebody in class.
Yeah, we may, especially those in administration.
He's giving class, he's not good.
Yeah, especially someone's in administration, he may have to make such decisions that I'm sorry, such and such. But not to decry, but just to make the distinction. But we should try to be careful not to broadcast the ill fame of devotees of the Lord. Yes. Whoever we are, however big we are, we should be careful. The biggest men can fall to the lowest position by broadcasting the ill fame of a devotee. Yes?
Maharaj, I had in a lecture.
Loud.
I had in a lecture that there are some conditions in which somebody can criticize. I want you to clarify on this. Like I had, you can criticize somebody to make him change from the bad thing he's doing to the...
Yeah, that's your duty. Just like the father, he has to criticize the son.
Okay.
The spiritual master has to criticize the disciple. It's his duty. But we should know what our duty is and what is not our duty. To criticize the subordinate is a duty. Criticize superiors is bad. We should be careful about that.
That is like out of love.
Hmm?
That is like out of love.
Even out of love, if we criticize our superiors, we say, oh, well, this is just love.
No, this is inferior.
Yeah, that's out of love. Out of duty also.
Yeah.
Maybe love or no love, but it's my duty. Yes?
Actually, my question was in line with that, what he has said. But what I just wanted, is it possible for a disciple, a spiritual master, to be corrected by his junior?
No.
It's not
right. The superior person should not be... It's a matter of you're reading, good qualities. It's a matter of good behavior. It's the duty of the father to criticize the son. It's not the duty of the son to criticize the father. That will be seen as very wrong.
It's called
Maryada Vyatikram. It's an offense. Bad manners. Huh? Anyway, you go to someone's house, And if the child is very respectful to the parents, then you think, oh, it's such a good child. And if the child is saying, Dad, what do you think you're doing? You know, everybody knows that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You know, then it's like, who brought these kids up? What's wrong with these kids? It's just even in ordinary affairs. So in spiritual life also, if the subordinate persons are criticizing the superior persons, criticizing sannyasi, the sannyasi, for example, should not be criticized by the junior persons. Spiritual master should not be criticized by the disciples. Elder, senior Vaishnavas should not be criticized by junior Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who've done great service should not be criticized by those who've done very little service. This sense should be there of who's superior and who's subordinate. Otherwise it means that one is ill-behaved.
Some sannyasi, maybe because we are already in the scriptures, the Prabhupada's instruction, if we are saying he is not behaving according to his ashram, so we should tolerate?
You may, well, should you tolerate if a sannyasi is not following his ashram? Tolerate means what? I mean,
if I'm doing some mistake, we should not tell anything, tolerate.
What can you do? It's not our duty that to... first thing is, tolerate, what else can you do? You're not going to...
Otherwise, if you tolerate not, there's a chance to create so much disturbance in the society.
So you may say, so this idea is, if you see some mistake, and you may approach his equals or seniors, this problem is there, maybe you can speak to such and such person. Otherwise, yeah, that's a good etiquette. I saw such and such thing. Otherwise, maybe very humbly one may approach the person. I saw such and such thing, and I had some doubt about that, and maybe you could. There are ways to present things even directly. One should be very cautious about things so as not to create offense. It doesn't mean that we're blind. You know, since some sannyasi walks in with a girl on his arm and we say, well, it's a sannyasi. And we don't have to be stupid or blind. But we should know what is the appropriate way. Not that the next thing is you're on the internet, hey, I saw such and such Maharaj with the girl on his arm. That's not the way to do it. Yes?
I have a question. While Srila Prabhupada was alive, he was the only initiate in the ISKCON, isn't it?
Yes.
Why to keep unity? Because I found in many temples, even in India, even in Nepal, even in Africa, where disciples of different gurus, like they don't coexist nicely. Why did after Srila Prabhupada, they installed one person to be the initiating guru for all the devotees of Islam?
Because Prabhupada told us not to do that. That's a simple answer. If he'd said to do it, we would have done it. That has its problems also. You put everything in the one person and the one person crashes in your face. Also, you put all authority in one person and the other person's all become dissatisfied as peers. Suppose I make you now the initiating guru. So now this person's going to feel, why is he the initiating guru? That person's going to feel, why is he? And you get dissatisfaction. Also, it's not... Yeah.
It is not sastic. Anyone qualifies?
No. The spiritual master may say that after my departure, I want such and such person to... He can say. He's the authority. He can appoint one person if he wishes. But Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj didn't do that. And Prabhupada didn't do that.
I feel unless somebody come on Vaishnava platform, this discrimination will remain. this discrimination of women on the occupied platform.
Which discrimination?
This will disciple this disciple, this competition, this competition.
Yeah, of course, these things will be there. Neophytes will always have their problems, no matter what you do. But, you know, we can sort of work our way backwards and say, wouldn't it be a better way to do it this way? Or couldn't it be that way? Or wouldn't it be better if Prabhupada were still the spiritual master? Or maybe if there were no spiritual masters, and, you know, or maybe if the book were the spiritual master, the Sikhs did that. No more gurus, now the book is the guru. So these may all be very good ideas, you know, in terms of management. We say, well, that would make sense, or that would work better, or we could get rid of this problem by doing that. But we have to follow what the spiritual master said. We can't come up with our own, well, it would be better if we did it this way approach. We have to follow what our spiritual master wanted. Yes?
Is it also offensive if somebody has some knowledge or has some information, and yet he or she does not want to share the information about Krishna with others? Is it an offense?
If someone has information about Krishna and doesn't want to share it,
yes.
Is that an offense? Not necessarily. One may, the person may be considering that this person is not qualified to hear this information. He would be preaching the glories of the Lord to the unfaithful. He may consider that this particular type of information is not suitable. It may be about Krishna, but it's not for them to hear, because there are certain topics that are meant for the more qualified persons. Otherwise, if we just hang back, we have knowledge of Krishna consciousness and we don't distribute it, it's not exactly offensive, it's just miserly. And the miserly person will have trouble advancing in Krishna consciousness.
Well, you told started, if you distribute more, you'll get more benefit.
Yeah, the more
so
you give,
not get
the more
benefit, it's miser.
Yeah, misers get the benefit of being misers. The miser actually loses everything. It said that knowledge not distributed is like water in a cracked pot. It just leaks out, and then you don't have anything. You wanted to keep it, so you wouldn't distribute it, but you lose it anyway. So our program is to distribute the rules. So. Okay, yes?
So by distributing, it actually decreases.
By distribution, it increases. By non-distribution, it diminishes. And by distribution, increases. Yes?
Maharaj, I have a personal question.
Better than an impersonal question.
I love reading books.
You have to speak louder.
Okay, I love reading books by some Maharaj, which has big detail, like Madhura means Vrindavan, like Brihad Bhagavatam. I love reading this book and I understand. Somebody was kind of critiquing me, telling me, stop reading these books, you're not qualified to read them. But I love them. What should I do?
Well, the first thing is, have you read Prabhupada's books?
Yes, I finished them.
Okay. Well, you're finished? Now you're not going to read anymore? It's done?
I read all Prabhupada's books. So
how many times?
Once.
Only once? Now you're done. You understood everything, and now you're ready to move on.
Even Maharaj first was somebody. I have read three times, but I cannot remember the first one. First was too easy. If you tell me, explain it, it's difficult for me to explain.
There's so many books. Prabhupada used to criticize that. Why so many books? Have they read my books? Do they understand? The tendency, it's one of the things Rupa Goswami mentions as not being very good, to read too many books. Now, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you want to read, there's no harm. But then there's so many, what was this, Madhurya Kadambini? That's all right. Yeah. I don't know who's translated it. But the book is okay. But then the people want to read, you know, Prema, Bindu, Sar, you know, Radha, Krishna, Leela, this, that, the other thing. That's not Very good.
I don't understand what meaning Masgurav meets Vrindavan. What is meaning Masgurav meets Vrindavan?
I haven't read the book, I can't tell you. It's a book by Gaura Govinda Maharaj.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Srila Prabhupada.